broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Yes, it's going to be a beautiful day. Sunny, good morning. Windward and Mocha showers, scattered showers on the leeward side, so mostly over the mountains on the windward side. Isolated showers in the afternoon, so a little rain, mostly sun. Trade winds, well, not quite, but we have easterlies, 15 to 20 miles per hour in the high today. It's going to get hot again. 85 degrees is the high expected to be. I got a great show for you. We've got Matt Rollins, Executive Director, Hawaii State Junior Golf Association. There is a new international tournament we're going to be talking about. Mark Ruffin, Golf Channel and NBC commentator. Jen Bell Jan, President, American Society of Golf Course Architects. Robert Winskovitz, he's the founder and managing director or partner of Squares. It's a new golf show and looks really good. Go to SQAIRZ.com. And Jonathan Wall, managing editor, Golf Magazine. We're going to talk first off with Matt Rollins after we thank the people who make this show possible.
The Golf Club is brought to you by Oahu Extraction. When it floods, water, or worse, sewer pipes break or mud inundates your home, call Oahu Extraction 24-7. Oahu Extraction, on site in 90 minutes, high-rise shopping center or home. Oahu Extraction. Raynor Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom, provide lasting security and safety for your business, your home. Raynor Doors, increase the value of your home with a major return on your investment. Call Raynor Doors, 676-3667. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
And beautiful Bayview Golf Course in Kaneohe, Hawaii's best value in golf, double-deck driving range, top tracer at each station, at absolutely no extra cost. So challenge your friends in the virtual mode. Have fun at Bayview Golf Course. You can play golf courses that are not right in front of you, you know, choose a golf course to play, or, of course, play on the driving range and check your stats, or play a round of golf at Bayview. It is absolutely the best value in golf. You can get a tee time at 247-0451, extension 1, BayviewHawaii.com, and we have a $50 gift certificate to give to the ninth caller, and all you have to do is call 808-545-1111. Let's go to Kauai, where the beautiful Poipube Golf Course is, and so many other gorgeous golf courses, and Matt Rollins is Executive Director of the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Thanks, Danielle. Good morning.
Good morning. So I'm excited because you have something brand new that you're introducing to us this morning, and it is a brand new international tournament for juniors, the Pacific Junior Championship. Tell us about it.
Yeah, thanks, Danielle. It is a big year ahead, and this event is very exciting, and it's actually It's kind of the original intent of our Asia-Pacific Junior Cup that we have with Japan. So we're basically just reworking that event, sponsored by Hilton Grand Vacations. Of course, they've been partners with us for 13 years. And so this year, we have reached out to associations across Asia and North America. And we're really excited about this one. So we have commitments from Japan. We've been speaking closely with Korea, Thailand, Canada is going to send their national team over for this one. And then we're waiting to hear back from some of the West Coast associations, Mexico, New Zealand, and China. Our actual entry date is May 1st. So we're communicating with these countries up until that point, and we'll know by then who exactly is coming. But it's going to be a really strong field and something kind of that everybody can get behind in Hawaii on an annual basis. And we'll be over with our friends over at the Waikoloa Kings course again. They've been hosting the Asia Pacific Cup for quite a few years now, so we're excited to get back there November 2nd to 6th this year. So pretty excited.
Yeah, I'm very excited because this means that the Pacific Junior Championship, instead of going 1 year here in Hawaii like the Asia Pacific Junior Cup did, and then 1 year in Japan. Expensive for the kids locally to make that trip, and it just makes more sense to have it here. A lot of people want to come here, so that's a great enticement to have it here.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of that's how it started a little bit too, or started it up again, these discussions, because we had some interest from some of these countries saying, hey, we'd like to send our team out there. Can you set up any matches for us? So we're just going to bring everyone together and have a great championship. And the quality of field will be fantastic. The timing's nice because it's right after one of the college events over at Kanapali on Maui. So we're going to reach out to the golf coaches that are over there supporting that event and see if they'll pop over to the Big Island for a couple of days and watch some of these kids. So it could be a great recruitment tool for some of those coaches.
Fantastic. And an opportunity for the youngsters who are youngsters, for the very accomplished golfers who are competing. Now, is this going to be the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association point list that the golfers are then chosen to play in this team event?
Yeah, exactly. So Hawaii will have a team of 4 boys and 4 girls in this event. So it's going to be a team and individual competition, stroke play. But we will have, so we'll have 8 players, and then we will fill with some individuals as well. We're not exactly sure how many Hawaii players at this point. We're going to kind of keep an eye on how many of these international teams register. Right now, we'd kind of like to keep it at a little bit of a smaller field in the 60 to 80 player range, just for having it manageable and that type of thing. And so we'll know a little bit more after the entry deadline.
What's the format?
So it'll be 36 holes, a team competition. So they'll take 3 of 4 scores from each boys and girls team each day, and then a 54-hole individual competition.
So we have no match play. This is total stroke play.
That's correct.
Oh, okay. Exciting. It's interesting. Why no match play?
Well, we kind of want to piggyback on how the college tournaments are being conducted these days, and it makes it kind of easy to keep an eye on the field and for these college coaches to come out and see how these kids are scoring. I think on this golf course where they already host an NCAA event, so. I think a good recruiting tool in that format, and just an opportunity for some change.
Good. I like it. I like that you're incorporating, because the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association has always been instrumental in moving children into the game of golf, and then if they want to, going to college and playing on a scholarship and getting on a college golf team and finding somebody, an opportunity for our golfers and coaches to come and check out the players. It seems just like a perfect marriage. The Pacific Junior Championship, November 2nd through the 6th. Really, really exciting. It's a great move. I was getting worried about our team going to Japan and not having much to come back with, and they came here because we were playing against the entire country of Japan. Will we be up against that kind of thing, though, with these teams coming from other countries?
We will. There's going to be some very tough competition because it will be national teams and top players from these other countries, but having kind of that home field advantage or home course advantage is a really big thing. Like we've had a ton of great matches with Japan over the years in Hawaii, with a few victories in there. So I think being in Hawaii gives our players a bit of an edge. But yeah, it's going to be a really deep field, and we're excited to see what happens.
Fantastic. I mean, the way you guys work hard at the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association, I mean, like everybody, the men and women, ladies, juniors, you're all working hard. When there's the Hawaii State Junior Golf Day, some of the kids come out from Hawaii State Junior Golf Association to kind of help with the introduction of the game during the Hawaii Junior Golf Day, and it's really cool. It's going to be on the 21st, and I'll have a list of where those events are if you'd like to get your child or grandchild into the game of golf. There's so many different opportunities. How are the discussions going with the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association and First Tee Hawaii, taking First Tee under the HSJGA umbrella? Where are we at?
Yeah, we're excited about this as well. It's I guess over the last few years we've had these junior golf summits around the state, and we've had various associations. I think there's been 11 or 12 in the room that have some sort of ties to junior golf. So we've been bringing this group together for 3 years now and talking through the various aspects of junior golf, and it seems like everybody's coming closer together, and we're having some great conversations, and it's really a great group that's behind growing the game. And this year's been interesting. We're still working through the logistics of a new model for these two associations. It all started with the PGA Tour reaching out to Mark Rolfing and kind of analyzing the golf scene here and what's been going on with the First Tee in Hawaii. And it's obviously been around in Hawaii for quite a few years now, and I think with the PGA Tour leadership behind it and a partnership with us, and we can really see where this can go. And I just think the opportunity there now is there's going to be increased funding and a partnership with the PGA Tour. There's a stronger link to national sponsors and trustees from the mainland that can support junior golf in Hawaii. And then I really think this could address some of the developmental challenges that exist. So we've been working closely with these island associations, like I said, and Kauai, Maui, and Big Island. They all have some really young kids that have come to their associations over the last couple of years. And it's mainly been through some of the marketing and Hawaii Junior Golf Day. And so these kids are really green. They're introduced once, and then they arrive at the door of these associations. And I think we need to have a developmental system in place or an environment for those kids to go and become more engaged in the game. So it'll address some of those needs. I think on Oahu, there's already a great system in place there. There's various associations supporting different levels in golf. There's some great academies there that are supporting junior golfers and kind of what their goals are. So there's an opportunity to connect some of those dots there. And then another piece where it hasn't really been put into play in Hawaii is the First Tee has their National Golf in Schools program. So obviously that's where all the kids are in the school system. And if we could get golf running in a good percentage of these schools in their PE classes, it's designed so that the PE teachers can deliver it, and then golf professionals could go in there and meet with these kids. There's a huge opportunity for that first touch point and getting those kids onto the facility level after that. And then they also have their Drive program, which is an after-school program, and it's designed to work closely with Boys and Girls Clubs and YMCAs and kind of all of the kids that are in that system. So there's just a huge opportunity here. We can connect a few more dots, and I think continue working with all of the associations and the academies out here that currently exist. We're just going to have some more alignment, and we're going to be able to direct new kids and new parents to the game on where to go. And then that'll kind of work throughout the entire system, and we can hopefully get everybody involved in continuing to grow the base of junior golfers out here, which will lead to the lifelong golfers, which we need. And it's an important healthy lifestyle, I think, that these people lead when they're out golfing on a weekly basis, and that's kind of what we're pushing along. So,
Excellent, Matt Rollins. And I think it's important to point out that the conversations that I initially talked about, the first Tee Hawaii and Hawaii State Junior Golf Association, that's the only, those are the two entities that would actually, in some form, become more of a relationship. And all the other organizations stay exactly the way they are. And then just the feeder, everybody has a role to play in junior golf. And the first Tee Hawaii has the opportunity to take kids from the Hawaii Junior Golf Day who've just learned. Then you go to the first tee, and it's so reasonably priced, and then you find out if your child really does like this game, and then they can go on into some of the other associations, work on their game, work their way up, join the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association, and then work into the competitions that you all provide. And I think Matt Rollins, Executive Director of Hawaii State Junior Golf Association, you're doing such an excellent job taking this from Mary B. Porter King, the president of the Board of Directors of the HSJGA, her vision as she created this. You're taking it further into the future, and it's just awesome what you're doing. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Well, thanks, Danielle. I appreciate those words. I'm obviously working with a great foundation here, and there's a lot of people involved in this, though. It's I'm happy to be a small part of it, but we do have some great people in the industry, and like I said, the Junior Golf Summit that we've been having the last few years, there's so many people in that room that really drive and support this, and they have so much passion for junior golf, and they're giving their time, as there's a lot of volunteers in that room, and so we're very fortunate, and it's been great working with them over the years, and we'll continue to do that. Like, they're going to be very involved in kind of what the operations look like for these two associations going forward. We'll work closely with everybody to make sure that we do this the right way.
Far out. Thanks for being on the show. Aloha.
Thanks, Danielle. Take care.
You too. Going to come back and talk with Matt Rolfing, Golf Channel and NBC commentator and analyst. Of course, I think he just got off the air, and we're happy to have him on our show right after we thank the people who make this show possible after this.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
The Bayview Golf Course in beautiful Kaneohe is Hawaii's best value in golf. Perfect for a group of friends, business clients, a party, or a tournament. Try our new double-deck Top Tracer driving range located on Kaneohe Bay Drive, minutes from town. Go to BayviewHawaii.com now or call us at 247-0451 extension 1 to book your round. There's good grinds and drinks upstairs. Bayview, your new home away from home. Check BayviewHawaii.com.
Without warning, keep the lights on with a Honda generator from Aloha Power Equipment. You'll never be left in the dark with Honda's lightweight, easy-starting, super-quiet generators. Put the power of a Honda generator to work for you.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
And Oahu Extraction, because when it floods, water, or worse, you got to give them a call immediately. Their number is 330-6212. Call Oahu Extraction. Hey, maybe that water didn't flood in. Maybe it's not something that happened. It happened over time, not immediately, and trickled in, and it stayed in, and it caused mold. Call Oahu Extraction 24/7 on-site in 90 minutes for the floods. Give them a call if you have a funky smell in the house and you just don't know what it is. They might be able to help. And $50 gift certificate. We still have, the phone lines are now open. The number is 808-545-1111. That's a $50 gift certificate to Bayview Golf Course in beautiful Kaneohe. Let's bring Mark Rolfing in right now. Mark Rolfing, golf analyst and golf commentator, Golf Channel and NBC Sports, Top Golf Hawaii, and president and founder, Chicago Parks Golf Alliance. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Well, thank you, Danielle. Yes, I did just get off the air here at Golf Channel. I'm still in the studio right now, and I've been talking about the WCC Mexico for an hour and was so glad to be able to listen to Matt Rollins talk about junior golf in Hawaii, which is near and dear to my heart. And listening to Matt made me realize just how lucky we are to have him at the helm of junior golf in Hawaii. He has really blossomed into quite a young leader, and we are all very fortunate to have him at the helm out there.
Absolutely. So much is going on. I mean, when we were at the Ho'olaulea, the Aloha Section PGA night, where all of the great players, the players of the year in all the age divisions at the Hawaii State Golf Association, the Junior Golf Association, Women's Golf Association, and the Golf Course Superintendent of the Year is chosen. We have so many of the Aloha Section PGAs getting acknowledged. And of course, we have a new member of the Golf Hall of Fame, Bobby Cox. Mark Rolfing is a member of the Hawaii Golf Hall of Fame. And now all of the plaques are going to be at the Alawai inside the clubhouse. So finally, a home for all of the plaques showing who's won. I think that move forward is wonderful, thanks to the city and county of Honolulu.
It's been great. You know, I've been involved in the golf business for, over 40 years in Hawaii now, Danielle. And we had talked for many, many years about trying to get the industry to come together. And we had Hawaii Golf Alliance conferences, and we talked, and nothing ever really came of it. I mean, we did some studies on economic impact and things like that, but I guess business was really good, and we didn't need to do much. And now that we're being challenged, the golf industry in general, it's just so great to see all the aspects of the industry becoming motivated to work together. And moving the Hall of Fame to Alawai may seem like not a huge deal to everybody, but it really is. It's just symbolic of working together. And I was over there the other night at day and spent quite a bit of time at Alawai, and the plaques aren't permanently set up yet, and it's not quite ready yet. But just watching the eyes of the folks that were looking at all the plaques and remembering Ginny Kopp and remembering John Kalinka and some of the people that made Alawai so famous, it was really intriguing and mesmerizing to me. It's going to be a great home for the Hall of Fame, and I think just the first step in this, kind of everybody working together out there finally.
Yeah, bringing up the Alawai was really important to me because after the meeting that was had for the Diamond Head Neighborhood Board, I was struck by what seemed to be a kind of a misunderstanding, and I wasn't sure if I was reading things right, what I was hearing, until I was sitting with two wonderful women who are golfers, and one of them an avid golfer, and both of them said, what's going to happen? There's not going to be a golf course there anymore. It's just going to be Top Golf. And I said, whoa. No. The 18-hole golf course does not go away. The 18-hole golf course is going to be there. And they went, oh, really? That's not the feeling we got. We thought, I said, no, the 18-hole golf course doesn't go anywhere. It's the little driving range adjacent on the Kapalulu side. That's where the Top Golf building would be, and it needs to take up space because it is a driving range. Have you come across that problem, Mark?
I have. Frankly, there is a very small minority, a very small group of people who for a long time, it's not just now, but really for the last 15 or 20 years, have felt that there would be a better suited purpose for the public at Alawai than to have it be a golf course. And there are people, again, only a few, but they're very loud voiced, who believe it should be either a public park or some sort of a farm or agricultural or something, and none of which is even remotely feasible. But misinformation is being spread around about what the plans are at Alawai, and I can unequivocally tell you that it will be an 18-hole golf course. I've been working with the city for almost 3 years on this now, and never once have I had a discussion where it was anything but an 18-hole golf course. Will some of the holes shift? Absolutely. There's no doubt they're going to shift. And one of the main reasons they will be shifting is because we do have to have some flood control measures at Alawai. And so there are going to be some flood mitigation measures put in there that are going to cause some of the holes to shift. But having said that, Daniel, as you well know, public golf is usually on a much smaller parcel. than what we're talking about at Alawai. Most public golf course parcels around America, especially munis, are in the 110 to 120 acre range. Alawai is 150 acres. It is a very large site, and it can accommodate a Top Golf, along with 18 holes of golf, along with more public space, along with flood measures. Really, I think there is a plan that's coming together out there that is going to make just about everybody happy here.
Well, that would be great. I just really needed to get it out there. Plus, what's also very important is the cost of using Topgolf as a driving range without any food or drink or anything like that. You just go in, get a bucket of balls, and you hit your balls. That won't cost any more than going to get a bucket of balls and using the driving range now. Is that correct?
That is correct. There is a guarantee on holding the rates. And, you know, everybody thinks, well, wow, how did you ever talk off into doing something like that? It's not a case of having done that at all. The fact is that at all the Top Golfs around America now, they have a special at certain times of day, not at 10 o'clock at night, but that's not when our residents are hoping to get a bucket of balls and stay there for a while. But at certain times of the day, for $15, you literally can go into Top Golf and hit as many balls as you want. If you want to stay there for 4 hours for $15, you can do it. So they've been doing this around the country, and they were absolutely happy and totally fine with guaranteeing that they're going to hold the rates for somebody to be able to come out there and just practice that aren't interested in playing the game of Top Golf. And it is going to be very affordable. That's a big misperception. This is not going to be unaffordable.
Yeah, it is a big misconception, and no one's going to be displaced. That was another thing. I would displace. No one's being displaced. If anything, it's being enhanced. There are considerations to be made about the flood mitigation and making sure that everyone working on that project is working together to come to the final flood control plan. I assume that you're a part of that. Top Golf and the city and county, of course, is a big part of that, the biggest part of that. But Top Golf must be thinking about those things too.
Well, of course they are, and they realize that the golf course is really the only flood protection for Waikiki. There is no other option. So no matter what, whether it's a Top Golf or not there, flood control has to be a part of the future of Alawai Golf Course. And right now it is not. But literally that entire golf course area can be a flood control measure. And it should be. But the thing that is most impressive to me about this plan, Danielle, is there are a lot of things that go on at Alawai that are actually going to get tremendously enhanced with this project. For example, the canoe clubs. There are a number of canoe clubs that call that area home. And right now, it's fairly chaotic in terms of parking, in terms of where they are located, in terms of where they can get fresh water to wash off canoes and bodies and things like that. And in this plan, everything is going to be addressed. And I really totally am convinced that when this is all said and done, the canoe club experience at Alawai is going to be much better than it is now for those local canoe clubs. There's going to be more parking than there is now. The parking situation will be actually eased up. It's not going to get worse. It's going to get better.
Great. I mean, it's good to hear. It's good to hear because there are a lot of paddlers, and that's, you know, that I never thought that their world would be disrupted at all, and hearing that their world is going to be enhanced is a marvelous surprise to me. I didn't know anything about that. Anything else that you wanted to add about Topgolf?
Yeah, you know, the canal, the Alawai Canal, which is just an iconic landmark and resource for Hawaii, has been problematic and challenged for years and years because in terms of the water quality in the canal, it has really not been very good. And I truly am seeing a project here that is actually going to help the water quality in the Alawai Canal. Golf courses are tremendous if you utilize them the right way for cleaning water. And I think what you'll end up seeing in this Alawai golf plan, in the new 18 holes that get shifted and rerouted a little bit, and enhanced, you're going to see more water in smaller areas as tributary type areas coming through the Alawai Golf Course. That with the grasses that we have in today's modern golf world, you can actually clean water. So this water is going to be of much higher quality when it goes through the golf course and then back into the canal than it is going straight into the canal.
Fantastic. Everybody knows the Alawai is not clean.
No, it's not. All you have to do is look at it.
We're going to shift gears a little bit. Tiger Woods skipping the WGC Mexico, everybody knew that, you know, kind of watching him play at Genesis. But how about him skipping the Honda?
Yeah, you know, I think the big decision for him was he going to play Honda and then Bay Hill and then Players and then a week off and then WGC match play? No, he wasn't going to play all those because he simply has to slowly work his way to get ready for the Masters. He is totally focused on defending that Masters title. So it's not a surprise to me that he chose not to play Honda, because I think you will see him in the field at Bay Hill next week, and then the week after Honda, and then I think you will see him in the field at Players for sure. So you wouldn't have seen him play three in a row. I think that would have been too much for him, especially given his somewhat fragile physical condition right now. I just think Honda, Bay Hill, and Players would have been too much.
Can I ask a question? When you say a somewhat fragile condition right now, are you talking about his general state because of just the way his back is, or is there something else that's happened that you know of?
No, there's nothing that's happened that I know of, but what I know has happened is he's had four surgeries on his back. He's had surgeries on his Achilles, his knees, his shoulders. You know, he is not a spring chicken, and those kind of surgeries eventually are going to add up, and there's been a lot of wear and tear on his body. He had a very violent golf swing for a long time that took its toll, and he simply is not ever again in his career going to be able to play a lot of golf. I really see him, you know, getting himself set where he plays 14, 15 tournaments a year, and I think that's going to be it.
Next question. Brooks Koepka actually came out and said he thought that Patrick Reed cheated. Did that change anything in the world of golf?
Well, it certainly reopened the discussion again about Patrick Reed that might not have been there quite as loudly. This is not going to stop, Danielle. We're starting to hear it from more and more players. Stuart Appleby was on the Morning Drive show here at Golf Channel before me, before we, Randall and I, went on Golf Central, and he was talking about it, and it's just not going to stop. Patrick Reed, there is only one thing in my mind for Patrick Reed to do, and that is to step up and apologize and say, you know what, I love the game, I love the fans, I made a mistake. We all make mistakes. I want to have a redo. I want to start over. He needs a reboot, and that is not going to happen until he shows a little contrition, I think, and makes an apology.
But he plays fantastic. I mean, I can't see him apologizing, and I think he should. I mean, Koepka went on to compare the situation with Reed with the Astros sign-stealing scandal. That's a pretty big comparison.
Here's the issue, I think. He's going to get a little bit, Patrick is lulled into a false sense of security. And I said it on the air this morning with Brandel. I said, Patrick Reed is not going to hear a lot of harassing in the gallery in Mexico. They're just not that kind of a golf country. And it's going to be very quiet there. This is a perfect environment for him right now. To totally get away from this whole controversy. But that's not going to last long. Not every week is going to be like Mexico. And every place he goes, the U.S. Open is in New York City this year, Danielle. Think about what that is going to be like if he hasn't made some sort of apology by then. I think he absolutely has to. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse.
All right. And, you know, it was also brought up that it's happening more often than we think, even though this age of the camera may have shut it down a little bit. But is it time for these guys to step on and up and call each other on their mishandling, their cheating?
Well, I don't know that it's... Yeah, I think they should anyway. You have to do that to protect the field. If you're a competitor in a field and you see somebody violating the rules, you have to protect the field. But the more important thing in my mind, Danielle, is creating awareness. And I think this has done it. There are a lot of players, and I have seen it, that put the ball very heavily, or the club very heavily behind the ball a couple of times, that clearly alters what that lie is like. They may not do it intentionally, or that may just be a habit. But what I think this will do is create awareness that you cannot alter a lie. And by setting that club down two or three times behind the ball, trying to decide what club you're going to play, that will alter a lie. That's not moving sand. That's only setting the club down. But still, it has altered the lie. So I think the awareness now is going to change the way people go about things.
No, I'm glad, because Koepka brought that up too. He said he actually watched somebody take a club and tamp down the grass around his ball so that he could get a better shot. And he didn't call that person on it. You know, and that's the part that I don't understand. If we're going to call out Patrick Reed because we got him on camera, and now, you know, hey, he cheated. And I don't know what he was doing, you know, building sandcastles in the sand. And I thought that was a great, great statement, because that's what it looked like to me. He was playing in the sand with it. And Koepka finally said, I've been off for 3 months, and I would have felt the sand. You know, you have to feel, everybody said you would have to have felt that, every professional golfer. So I just wonder, you know, if it's happening and they're letting each other get away with it, that breeds that kind of attitude. Well, no one's calling me out. No one's telling the officials, so I'm just going to keep doing it.
And that's why it's bad for the game, Danielle. And really, when you think about it, just step back and think about the conversation that you and I are having right now. I mean, here Patrick Reed is close to the lead in Mexico. Had one of the great putting rounds I've ever seen yesterday. Did not miss a putt inside, in between 10 and 20 feet. He was 5 from 5 from 10 to 20 feet. Just a remarkable performance. But are we talking about that? No, we're talking about a cheating incident, or an alleged cheating incident in the Bahamas, you know, that occurred 3 months ago. Something is wrong with this picture when that is what we are focused on constantly with Patrick Reed. And I would think that he would want to get that over with. How can you go through life constantly fighting people? Don't you think you would just eventually get worn out and say, I've had enough of this?
One would think. Mark Rolfing, golf analyst and golf commentator. Love watching you way out there in Florida. You flew all the way over, and there he is on Golf Channel, Golf Channel's Golf Central. Just doing a great job, as always. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Danielle, and you too.
Aloha. We're going to come back. We're going to talk with Jan Beljan. She is the president of the American Society of Golf Course Architects, and I want her take on the distance debate after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the green with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Can hit without warning. Keep the lights on with a Honda generator from Aloha Power Equipment. You'll never be left in the dark with Honda's lightweight, easy-starting, super-quiet generators. Put the power of a Honda generator to work for you.
Put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
It always happens to the other guy. That 100-year flood. Broken sewer pipe on the floor of his business. When it happens to you, don't panic. Call the pros. Oahu Extraction. Water, mold, mud, or worse. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Call Oahu Extraction at 808-330-6162. Direct insurance billing, licensed and bonded. We'll handle Extraction.
Aloha Power Equipment at Sand Island and Waipahu stores, the largest selection of Maruyama Power Equipment. Aloha Power Equipment is the Maruyama Superstore. They'll put power at your fingertips. Bayview Golf Course in beautiful Kaneohe, Hawaii's best value in golf. The double-deck driving range with top tracer at each station. No extra cost. Challenge your friends in the virtual mode. You just have a lot of fun at Bayview Golf Course. It's BayviewHawaii.com, and we have a $50 gift certificate for the ninth caller at 808-545-1111. That's 545-1111. All right, we're going to bring into the clubhouse now a beautiful woman, and she is the president of the American Society of Golf Course Architects, Jan Bell Jan, joining us in the clubhouse now. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Good morning, Danielle.
Good morning. Thanks for having me. Absolutely, Jan. It's so good having you in. I've got so much I want to talk to you about, because some of the things that are happening, for instance, in Hawaii at Turtle Bay, they created a smaller area where people are playing on an 18-hole putting course. And I understand that one of the things that came out is that short game areas at golf courses become very popular across the country.
That's absolutely true. We've been seeing this for a number of years, and it's finally been recognized, mostly because there are some facilities that are resorts that have found that they work. And so when any group of people see something that works, they say, oh, well, if they can do it, we can do it too if we have the space. And if we don't have the space, maybe our golf course architect can rearrange a few things and make it so that we do.
Yeah, and it's working. It's very popular. And Turtle Bay, of course, is a resort with a Palmer course and a Fazio course. And they took a piece, they found a piece, and made this beautiful, it's called The Breaks. And it's an 18-hole putting course, and people are really loving it. So I thought that was an interesting trend, giving people also the opportunity to play not an 18-hole, but to play a shorter period of time just to get out and about and to be able to walk away an hour or two later.
Sure. I think most of us are finding is that our willingness to have a longer experiences, unless they're lengthy as in several days, but even at that, we want to have them broken up into smaller segments, that this satisfies a terrific need, not just to be able to get outside for only a certain amount of time, but also to be able to enjoy the golf experience with people who may not be regular golfers. Most people, given a little bit of coaching, can learn how to putt. They may not be successful but all the time, but on a putting course, it's probable that they could have at least a couple of two putts. Maybe there'll be some more three or four putts, depending on if they're just early in their careers as golfers. But it does give everybody a chance to have fun.
It does, and it's true. You can take your friends out and say, hey, let's go to this putting course. It's a whole lot of fun, and there's nothing like watching somebody when their putt drops.
Oh,
it's so happy.
It's what hooks us all. It hooks us all, doesn't it?
Yes, it's that sound. It's the sound of a good strike of the ball, and it's a good sound. It's that sound when it drops into the hole. Those are the triggers. I was intrigued by the conclusions that the ASGCA came up with, the American Society of Golf Course Architects, supporting the initial conclusions of the USGA and the RNA on the Distance Insights Report. And one of the things that popped out at me was golf courses are small businesses that seek to be operated in a sustainable way, both for owners and surrounding communities. We are encouraged to see that sustainability continues to be considered as part of the distance issue. You want to expand on that?
Well, I think maybe not everybody does recognize that a golf facility, whether it's a practice range with a short game area, whether it's a pay-for-play golf course, a resort, or a club, all of those are all small businesses. They all employ people. They all deal with the community businesses that support them. whether it's the beverage vendors, the flowers, the linen cleaning, electricians, plumbers. Think of any trade in any community, and chances are somebody there does business with that golf facility. So that's why that's part of the sustainability. Economic sustainability is as important as environmental sustainability. If you don't have the economy behind you, if you are not being financially in the positive realm, then how does it matter if you're environmentally sustainable? But they go hand in hand. If you're environmentally sustainable, you're watching out for power use, for irrigation and for lights in all the buildings, for reduced irrigated maintained turf, for reduced outputs or inputs in those use of mowing equipment and water and fertilizers and disease control. So there are a lot of things that make, we need the combination. It's always a balance. As in everything in life, it's balance.
Yeah, and when we talk about the distance debate, if you're just joining us, you haven't heard about this, it's a question of whether the ball and the clubs that generate the distance the ball can go, in addition to, of course, the ball being able to go so much further than it used to, has it come to a point where it needs to stop? This forward motion, this making it go farther and farther and farther. I've been struck, Jan, by the word that some people are using when they say, we need to roll back. And I'm like, why are you saying roll back? That sounds terrible. No one wants a roll back, but a stop, a consideration of what a golf course can take. I mean, there is only so much space that's available, and how far do you want to hit that ball into the neighbor's yard? But tell us, I didn't give you a chance to say what the American Society of Golf Course Architects, actually your conclusion on what you want to have done in this question.
Well, the first thing I should say is that this was the first step for the USGA and the RNA in several steps, at least. So the first step was in collecting data. And the data supports pretty much the findings. They're consistent pretty much with what we had thought. But what we know, too, it isn't just playing equipment, the balls and the clubs, but it's also better maintained turf, and it's also that the athletes, especially at the elite levels, are fitter than they ever have been. So when you have the combination of the three, it's hard to separate which is which and how much impact each of them has, because the actual body types of each of the players has a bearing. And then, of course, you want to talk about accuracy and the people who are more accurate. How much more or less do they benefit from being accurate versus those who might be a little bit wilder off the tee? And again, we're talking about the elite levels. One of the things that we discuss is not just how far a golf ball may go, but how straight it may be. There's a lot invested by manufacturers in engineering golf balls that fly straighter. And I dare say that if you took a golf ball that you hit 20 years ago and you put a new one down, you'd probably, and you had the same swing, not that we have that kind of repeating swings, right? But we might find a difference in both distance and waywardness of the golf ball. So I think what we're really doing is we're supporting the research that has been done, and we're supporting the fact that we want to continue the dialogue and get the collaboration of all the entities in golf. So that's not just the allied associations on say the management and operational side of golf, but then there's also the manufacturing side. There's the golf course superintendents, the maintenance, there's irrigation. There are so many entities that are involved in the world of golf.
But the bottom line is that you support the initial conclusions reached by the USGA and the RNA in their and their intent to provide closer inspection and monitoring. What do you, so we haven't taken a stance yet at the ASGCA yet on what your thoughts are about. Would you like to see the ball or the equipment stopped? Would you, you know, none of those decisions have been made within your association.
Oh, no.
Right.
No. Because the data has just been collected. It took them 2 years to collect that data, and now it does have to be a collaboration among all the groups as to what can be done and what should be done. You know, there are everybody, so many people would be affected, individuals as well as companies.
Mm-hmm.
But we look at the distance and look at the data, and the data that they have collected is mostly from the players. I don't know how, you know, the depth of the data for the novice players, for the recreational golfer. I mean, so it's taking into account the really wide range of golfers that there are, male and female, young and old, new players and experienced players, elite versus recreational. So it's to try to apply all of this with only the data that we have right now, not considering all the entities, is just not wise.
I like what you said too. When in the release from the association, golfers of all skill level should be encouraged to play from tees that provide the most enjoyment and the best opportunity for them to score well. We're thrilled to see continued promotion of the benefits of teeing it forward.
Well, yes, you know, so in the world of golf right now, golf course design is predominantly renovation. So we're dealing with golf courses that exist. So to make those golf courses longer, most are landlocked. They can't be made longer. So we're dealing with a set footprint, with a set area. But what we can do is we can add tees farther forward so that people who are novices can have a more positive experience sooner. They have success. The same thing we're just talking about on a putting course.
Mm-hmm.
When you have that success of getting it in the golf hole from 25 yards out, 100 yards out, versus, or 150 versus 300 yards, it's a big difference in how anybody's willing to then pursue the game. You know, there's, I guess if I'm a new player and I'm starting out on a 300-yard par 4, and I can't hit the ball 150 yards or 160 yards on my drive, and I'm going to take 3 or 4 to get there because I lift 1 or 2 and, you know, hit 1 or 2 sideways. So it takes me 6 to get on the green, and then I'm supposed to be on, and I'm supposed to have 2 putts. All of a sudden, I have an 8 if I make those 2 putts. So we have, and it isn't quite all that all of a sudden either, is it?
No. It takes forever.
Well, and so there's the point, is that we can have these experiences. So this is where we're absolutely thrilled that so many club governors and owner-operators are choosing to add another set of tees further forward, because what does that offer? That offers choice. That offers choice to the golfer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's interesting, from the 80s and early 90s, where the obsession was to add another tee further back. You could put that black tee way back there, you know. It was like, really? Okay. So, you know, then there were, and now we're actually doing something that makes a lot more sense. We're putting tees forward so that people who are actually just getting into the game and don't feel, that way you don't feel intimidated by this whole thing. You know, you have a chance. You have a chance wants to get out there and actually get it somewhere and have some fun, and that's what it's all about. A real pleasure speaking with you again. Jan Bell. Jan is president of American Society of Golf Course Architects, the second woman to be president. The first was Alice Dye, and you know, Jan, since we last spoke, Pete Dye, of course, you know, passed away on January 9th, 2020. It must have been a real shock for you, having known the family.
Well, you know, Pete was close to 95 years old. So it was, I suppose, ultimately expected, but yes, one is never prepared for when any of us, anybody who we feel close to or who we hold in high regard, we're never prepared for that person to be lost.
Mm-hmm.
Because Pete and Alice were so generous with their time and with young people around them who now aren't so young anymore, but who were willing to work with them and to learn, then we still have in motion their ideas and their thoughts and how they pursued golf. And I think if there's anything, it's the legacy. That's the legacy that they left, was they left with us a number of people who followed them day in and day out. Every day, all day, for years. So they have a very intimate knowledge of how the dyes worked and what the design principles were, and how they're still meaningful.
Thank you very much for being on the show. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Aloha.
Thank you. Enjoy your day. Aloha. Bye.
We're going to come back with a brand new pair of shoes. Really need to check out, because one of the first things is lining up. Okay, so we're talking with Jan Bell. Jan, the president of the American Society of Golf Course Architects, about, you know, trying to get that ball in the hole and some of the things that can be done to help you or have some fun on the golf course. Well, this is a really good tip. Lining up is one of the hardest things to do, so anything that you can have, you don't want to put those sticks down. How about your shoes? We'll be back after this, talking about squares. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the green with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
Power outages can hit without warning. Keep the lights on with a Honda generator from Aloha Power Equipment. You'll never be left in the dark with Honda's lightweight, easy-starting, super-quiet generators. Put the power of a Honda generator to work for you.
It always happens to the other guy. That 100-year flood. Or broken sewer pipe on the floor of his business. When it happens to you, don't panic. Call the pros. Oahu Extraction. Water, mold, mud, or worse. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Call Oahu Extraction at 808-330-6162. Direct insurance billing, licensed and bonded. We'll handle all the restoration for you. Oahu Extraction.
The Bayview Golf Course in beautiful Kaneohe is Hawaii's best value in golf. Perfect for a group of friends, business clients, a party, or a tournament. Try our new double-deck Top Tracer driving range located on Kaneohe Bay Drive, minutes from town. Go to BayviewHawaii.com now or call us at 247-0451 extension 1 to book your round. There's good grinds and drinks upstairs. Bayview, your new home away from home. Check BayviewHawaii.com.
The Golf Club is brought to you by Oahu Extraction. When it floods, water, or worse, sewer pipes break or mud inundates your home, call Oahu Extraction 24/7. Oahu Extraction, on site in 90 minutes, high-rise shopping center or home. Oahu Extraction. Raynor Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom, provide lasting security and safety for your business, your home. Raynor Doors, increase the value of your home with a major return on your investment. Call Raynor Doors, 676-3667. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
Way to go, Harold congratulations. You have won the $50 gift certificate to Bayview. Harold from Maui. Got to come over and check out the Top Tracer. It's really awesome. And they've done some spectacular work at Bayview Golf Course. Bob Winskovitz is founder and managing partner of Squares. I want you to go to squares.com. S-Q-A-I-R-Z. Put the Z in there, .com, okay? Number one innovative pick at the 2020 PGA Demo Day. Wonderful to have you in the clubhouse. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Danielle. Thank you so much for having me, and good morning.
Good morning. And Jim Remy, the past president of the PGA of America. In my 40 years of teaching golf, these are the best golf shoes I've ever worn. Squares is the future of golf footwear. Huge statement. Fantastic. Now, where did this design come from?
So the design started about 6 years ago. I was always challenged with balance, with stability, and alignment. And, you know, what's interesting, Jack Nicklaus put it into a statement that I'm kind of governed by, which is, if you set up correctly, there's a good chance you'll hit a reasonably good shot, even if you make a mediocre swing. If you set up incorrectly, you'll hit a lousy shot, even if you make the greatest swing in the world. So the importance of setup, which is balance and stability and alignment, really starts with your feet. And being challenged with that my whole life, one day I was hitting golf balls on a work break with some square toe dress shoes. And I had noticed that I was properly aligned and set up to my shot, and I felt a little more balanced, a little more stable. And it intrigued me, and that's really where it all began.
Wow. You know, some ideas come from interesting places, and the whole idea is that when you square up or align yourself to your target, because remember, everybody, if you don't play golf and you're listening, you're standing not facing your target. You're standing facing away from your target, actually, and you have to make your body hit the ball so that it goes to the target that's on your left or your right, depending on what you are. And so, you know, it's weird. You have to make sure that the line lines up with your target, and then your arms are going to follow through that line and get the ball to the target. But it's really hard looking down. So these squares have square toes. Initially, Bob, I went, that's weird. And then all of a sudden they became normal. Isn't that odd?
Yeah, and Danielle, we find that a lot, that people first scratch their head, but then it comes back to reality, which is what you taught early on, is you square up to every shot. And I say, why would you wear a rounded toe shoe when you need to square up to the shot? So this all, one of the things that I was also governed by is when I was the senior VP of sales and marketing for Arnold Palmer, we used to have quarterly meetings and with Arnold, and we'd submit the new product launches. And every single time he'd sit there and he'd look at me and he'd say, what's in it for the golfer? Tell me, what's in it for the golfer? And I looked at today's golf shoes and I asked people, and I say, does the golf shoe that you're wearing today help you play better golf? 10 years ago, they went to a spikeless shoe, and in my opinion, you lost ground connection. And then they went to lightweight. What lightweight really means is taking structure out of a shoe. In today's modern golf swing, and I listened to a lot of your previous guests, and they talk about the distance and things of that nature. And really, distance is created by your connection to the ground. And certainly athleticism of today's golfer is important, and that's factoring into this distance. But I think equally important is their understanding of ground connection, this ground reaction force. And if you watch somebody like Rory, as they hit a golf ball, they sit down about an inch, their head drops, and the driving force into the ground. Mm-hmm. And it's that connection to the ground that creates distance. So what happened with our shoe is because we have that square toe, what that does is it allows your toes to sit naturally in the shoe, like a sandal. And that provides proper range of motion of the feet. And this is the first time it's been deployed in golf shoes. So better balance, better stability. Would you not agree that putting your toes naturally like a sandal or walking barefoot would be much better than a toe that's rounded that angles your toes to the center? Once it does that, you lose proper range of motion. But because we could build that square toe, it allowed us to build a wider base under the forefoot by about 2 millimeters larger than any other shoe in the marketplace. This in itself scientifically provides you with a larger platform, hence better stability and better balance. So this shoe scientifically is based upon providing you with better balance, better stability, and because your toes sit naturally, significantly more comfort.
It's amazing. I kept thinking about a judge who played at Mid-Pacific Country Club barefoot. I mean, he always played barefoot. He went to, I think it was Riviera, and he wanted to play barefoot, and they were aghast. This was a long, long time ago. These are the shoes he should have been wearing because the wide base gives him the comfort of being barefoot. You're not trapped inside the shoe. Now, I kind of wonder, it doesn't seem natural that a square toe would make my toes feel comfortable since my toes aren't squared off at the top. They kind of are in an angle. So you take care of that problem by having this wide base and everything fits comfortably. Do I have that right?
Exactly. That's exactly right, because if your toes can sit naturally, you've got a better sensation, better feel for balance, your body does, and it runs up through your mind that you now have a greater base.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that, we built a custom insole, so as the swing and throughout the swing, there's a lot of pressure exerted on the bottom of the feet, and there's 4 regionalized pressure points. So what we did is we built a traction system on the bottom of the shoe that placed cleats directly under those pressure points. Because if that's the most, if that's the greatest area of pressure, that's where you need greatest connection to the ground. And again, the first time this has been accomplished. So we placed that, but then we placed an insole inside of the shoe, a custom insole that provided added compression in those pressure point areas. So, again, that means more comfort, better balance, better stability, and the shoe is one with the foot. And the last thing we did is pretty interesting. A lot of people have picked up on this, is that our lace design. On the top of the laces, we have printed silicone squares. So once you tie the shoes, it locks it in place and forms it on the top of your foot, and you never have to tie the shoe again throughout the round.
Wow. Oh, that's big. It's also waterproof, 100%. And that's really important for, you know, winter in Hawaii. We could use that. You're saying this gusseted tongue adds protection against the sand from getting in?
That's correct. If you're like me, you find the sand trap quite often.
Yeah.
And so a lot of the shoes made today, the tongue moves back and forth. And also it allows debris to get in there inside the shoe. And actually water can get in through the tongue area. So what we did is we spent a little extra money to put a gusseted tongue, which is really the tongue is sewn all the way up to the top, and it prevents water and it prevents debris getting into the shoe.
Well, we're talking right now with Bob Winskowitz. He's the founder and managing partner. Squares is SQAIRZ. Squares.com. And if you Google it, even if you misspell it, it'll find it for you. Then you click on them. Squares, men's golf footwear, special introductory pricing. Use this code for 20% off. 20% off. Use code SPOFF2. SPOFF2. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Yes.
And I did want to add that we are, I appreciate your previous guest and your approach to junior golf. We have been named the official golf shoe of the Hurricane Junior Golf Tour. And this year, we just started offering scholarships to kids who can't afford to get into junior golf. So I applaud Matt's efforts and applaud your comments about people taking a role and responsibility in developing this game through juniors. So thank you for what you do.
Absolutely. One final question. These shoes are also USGA conforming. The heel stabilizer that runs from the heel to the arch. A lot of people have arch issues. Does that help?
It does. It does. And what it also helps is there's a lot of activity with the foot going from the lateral to medial side. It goes back and forth, and you need that structure to prevent rollover injury because today's modern swing is all about that torque and distance and swing speed generation, and you need that stability. So the heel stabilizer keeps your heel down throughout the swing. It also centers the foot in the shoe, which again promotes proper biomechanics, and it also helps prevent rollover injuries. So yes, it is designed to really help the golfer. And these shoes, based upon the features and benefits, and when you look down at this and you can set up properly, this is the only golf shoe that we believe actually and literally helps the golfer play better golf.
Men's golf and women's golf footwear at Squares, SQAIRZ.com. Check them out, and they've got 20% off special introductory pricing right now. Bob, a real pleasure talking with you. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, Danielle.
Aloha. Going to come back. Jonathan Wall, Managing Editor, Golf Magazine. After this, my name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the green with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Can hit without warning. Keep the lights on with a Honda generator from Aloha Power Equipment. You'll never be left in the dark with Honda's lightweight, easy-starting, super-quiet generators. Put the power of a Honda generator to work for you.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
It always happens to the other guy. That 100-year flood. Broken sewer pipe on the floor of his business. When it happens to you, don't panic. Call the pros. Oahu Extraction. Water, mold, mud, or worse. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Call Oahu Extraction at 808-330-6162. Direct insurance billing, licensed and bonded. We'll handle all the restoration for you. Oahu Extraction.
Aloha Power Equipment. What you need this weekend, get over and get your Maruyama. And another one, when it rains or it pours, you want to see water coming underneath the wall, you give them a call right away when you see that happening. It's 330-6212. And the beautiful Bayview Golf Course in Kaneohe, Hawaii's best value in golf. Double deck driving range with top tracer at each station. No extra cost. Challenge your friends in the virtual mode. Just go have some fun. Check them out. BayviewHawaii.com. All right, let's get straight to the man, Jonathan Wall, Managing Editor, Golf Magazine. He was equipment editor at PGA Tour for a while. A while he's been in this business of golf and writing about golf and equipment. I am so tempted to ask you about golf clubs, but I've got so much on my mind. I need to know what you think about the distance report. Jonathan Wall, welcome into the clubhouse.
Hey, Danielle, thanks for having me.
What's your take? I mean, you work closely with the equipment companies, and this initial finding from the USGA and the RNA, what are your thoughts?
I mean, I think when I was given the opportunity to speak to the USGA in advance of this Distance Insight report, you know, one of the things that they stressed was that they had not worked with the equipment manufacturers yet, that this was going to be a collaborative effort, but they just were trying to kind of figure things out on their own before trying to involve the manufacturers. And, in my opinion, I think that's a little bit of a slippery slope, because at the end of the day, you're going to need the manufacturers to be involved in this process. And a few of the manufacturers that I spoke to right after the Distance Insight report was released, they mentioned that they had only received the report within about 30 minutes of it actually being delivered to the public, which is very surprising, again, because they need to be involved in this process. We've only seen one manufacturer come out and offer their take on the report, and that was Titleist. And, Titleist being the number one ball in golf and having they have a huge market share in the golf ball area, and it's a big one. And they pretty much said that, you know, they're pretty much content with the way things are going right now, and rightfully so. I mean, the Pro V1 is the most played ball on the PGA Tour. It's by far the most played ball at at your local golf course. So it is. It's a slippery slope that we're trying to work through right now. And quite honestly, I think that the USGA and the RNA is going to be tough sledding for them to try and get some of these ideas. The one that stuck out to me was this local rule where you could essentially at your own golf course, if you were having a tournament there, you could use local rules. So equipment that was either rolled back or a golf ball that was rolled back, where they're going to find that equipment, I don't know, because they're going to have to get manufacturers on board to make it.
Yeah. The whole rollback thing bothers me. If we're going to do anything, just stop. Stop trying to go another, 300 yards. At some point, when do we stop? If you really need to do that, go do a long drive competition. If that's where you're at, go hit it far. Go do long drive. Because I think of the golf courses and how much space do they have? At what point do they have to start thinking, well, we can't compete if you're going to get the ball or the golf clubs to make them go that far? I like from Titleist, they talk about that since the origins of the game, innovation and equipment has played a critical role in the growth and enjoyment. However, the report indicates the next step in the Distance Insight project will focus on evaluating potential changes to the equipment rules to curb innovation and limit any additional hitting distance. Golf equipment, clubs and balls, has historically been highly regulated, and these regulations have been effective in setting upper limits on equipment performance and ensuring that the best golfers separate themselves with their talent, their skill, and their training while using equipment best suited to their games. I don't see anybody wanting anything to be taken away from any of the golfers. It's just a question of how much further are we going to hit this ball, and how much of a challenge is it for golf course operators to keep up. I feel like we're going back to the 80s when, we're going to make all these great, big, gigantic golf courses and then nobody goes to play them. And it's hard.
You can't put the genie back in the bottle.
True.
When manufacturers started releasing ultra-thin titanium faces, when solid construction golf balls like the Pro V1, like the Nike Tour Accuracy the Tiger Woods used in 2000, and when he won the, that's the thing, is this all really started when Tiger won the Tiger Slam. He was holding all four majors at one time, and I believe it was only a handful of players the year that he won the Masters in 2001, then the following year, it was basically almost the entire field was using solid construction golf balls. It was around 75 or 80% of the field. So we've seen a huge shift. Now here's the thing that really concerns me, is that this Insight report, it really only pertains to about 0.1% of the golfing public. And that 0.1% is the elite tour players.
Mm-hmm.
The guys like Rory McIlroy, Dustin Johnson, the ones that are hitting it, 350 yards. And that this is my concern with this report, is that they're only really trying to roll the golf ball back for the professional golfers. This has nothing to do with the 15 handicappers. They need as much distance and forgiveness as possible. And I think that's where my concern lies with this, is how do you roll back the equipment for, the 0.1%, but leave the gear alone for the golfer who just wants to go out with his buddies on the weekend and try and break 80 or try and break 90. It's one of those things that really concerns me, is, bifurcation is a word that we've heard tossed around a whole lot, and that meaning equipment for the elite players, the tour players, and then gear for the amateurs. And this goes back to the equipment manufacturers. It's going to be difficult to get them on board with this, because you think about all the different SKUs, and when I say a SKU, I mean the different models of clubs that are on the market already. To ask them to then create more products, and some people said, well, what about just rolling back the golf ball? I mean, sure, if you can get the manufacturers to do that just for the golf balls out on tour, but here's my problem, is how do you get the same technology, because everybody has proprietary technology when it comes to golf balls, how do you get everybody on the same level playing field, and then how do you sell that golf ball? Because you're not really going to be able to sell it at retail. So you're going to be making a golf ball just for the guys on tour. You look at what the tour is used for. It's used to sell product at retail. So yeah, there are a lot of questions that I have when it comes to bifurcation, which equipment you would roll back, and how you do it in a way that doesn't turn off the average golfer. I've heard from so many of them that said this is ridiculous. Why are they doing this? Because it's only pertaining to that 0.1%, as I mentioned. So I still want to see what the USGA has to do with all this. Again, they said it's going to be a collaborative effort. I will be, you know, watching closely to see what that looks like. But right now it looks like they're just kind of throwing out some ideas and just trying to test the waters.
Can I just ask one question? Why do we use the word rollback when I don't see anybody want, you know, rolling back? How can you can't take, like you said, the genie out of the bottle? You can't go backwards. That's just not possible. But that can't happen either unless the equipment manufacturers get really innovative in creating golf clubs differently to be more precise for, I don't know, the wedges, the irons. It's a challenge on so many levels, and as you said, it's just the very, very beginning, and why they didn't have the equipment people in on it from the very beginning is kind of a mystery to me, and I think it made them all feel rather attacked, and then they come out with their hackles up and they don't want to play.
Yeah. No, you're exactly right. You know, I think the most obvious change, if you're really looking at one, Danielle, from a club perspective, would be to make the driver head smaller. I think maybe if you made something that was more like a 3-wood profile, maybe something in like the 200cc range, you know, you could go back to the way drivers were, where they were less forgiving. If you were a really accurate player, you could get a lot out of the technology. But the shots that went off the heel and the toe, that's where a lot of these tour players are gaining a huge advantage. Is, you know, yes, they're extremely accurate, but if they miss it a little bit off the heel or the toe, they're not losing a whole lot. So maybe you can make the driver smaller. That would be my only one suggestion. I don't really know how you could do it across the board. It would be expensive, and I think it would be a massive undertaking. The golf ball is obviously one that people have talked about. But again, you know, these manufacturers are trying to market the products that these tour players are using week in and week out. How are you going to market a golf ball that goes, you know, say 15 to 20 yards
you can't.
Behind the other retail players? I mean, you can't sell those golf balls at retail.
No.
So, yeah, there are a ton of hurdles that would have to be cleared for some of these products before they'd ever be able to make it to retail.
Yeah, what I like what you just said, though, is because if you took somebody from who just, you know, had been disappeared from the 90s, and then put them on a golf course, and they'd say, why is everybody playing with a Big Bertha? I thought the Big Bertha was, you know, for old ladies.
Yeah.
So everybody's, you know, got these giant heads that were created for the golfer who couldn't hit a driver so that they'd have fun on the golf course. And now, of course, they discovered, gee, that's really fun. I can hit this ball really far with this gigantic head because I have so much control. I think it's really marvelous. Going to switch gears. Premier Golf League, finally, somebody comes out of the woodwork, an attorney, our Andrew Gardner, to talk about what has been whispered about, and Rory McIlroy says, I have absolutely no interest in being involved. I'm out. What's your take? Do you think it would work?
You know, Daniel, I don't. I actually was kind of intrigued by the whole idea. You know, larger purses, this Formula One format where they would have a draft and players could go back and forth on teams. And, you know, it's different. And I think sometimes that's what intrigues people, because golf, for the most part, is the same format. It's 72 holes, stroke play. You know, we do get a couple of match play events throughout the year, but you know, for the most part, golf is a year-round sport now. There is no off-season, and you have to try and find a way to generate some of that interest that you get in the four major championships, because that's really where you get the casual sports fan watching golf. And so I did. I liked the idea initially, but I thought it was predicated on getting players like Rory McIlroy, Tiger Woods, Dustin Johnson, all Brooks Koepka, all the elite players to buy into this. Because without them, what is this event? You know, and what's gonna cause people to watch this format? I mean, maybe there's going to be some intrigue, but if it's just 54 holes, for the golfer, sure, that there's a benefit there because there's no cut and they can play one less round. But, you know, without an elite field, it's going to be really difficult to sell people on this idea, even if the money's there. And I think that's kind of what Rory, you know, if Rory's not going to take the big check that they're hanging in front of him, then I think other players, especially those elite players, are going to probably say, well, Rory's not in, then what am I going to do? If Rory had said, yeah, you know what, I'm going to think about it some more and kind of go from there and do my homework. But he pretty much said, I'm out. And with him saying that, I think you might see other players really kind of cool to the idea. But that's pretty much what I think this league is going to be built on is elite players. And if they can't get them, if it's just a mid-level field, how does that differ from a regular PGA Tour event?
It doesn't, and it's boring. Yes, absolutely. And it has no. What they're trying to do is get everybody who would go to a major and create majors every time they have an event. So it's always major, 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 and then have the majors. And one part about it is, when I was reading, is if you drop out for some reason, if you drop below a certain level, then you kind of get kicked out. You get kicked off your team because you're not good enough. And if the PGA Tour says, okay, we don't want anybody who's played the Premier Golf League, you don't get to come back. So where does that leave the person who, like, Jordan Spieth's having a bad run of it? He gets kicked off of his team because he's not good enough, and somebody substitutes for him. He's out there in left field, and he's got nowhere to go. They won't let you back.
Exactly.
Wait a minute.
No, you're exactly right, and I think that's something that a lot of these tour players are probably aware of now. But it is, it's one of the things where if you go all in on this league and you give up your PGA Tour card and all the benefits that you get just for this league, then it's going to make it really difficult for you to want to go all in if you do have a run of poor form. So it is. I think that it might gain some traction initially, but there are a lot of red flags here. I think some of these players have seen, this league is being backed by a lot of money from the Middle East. And we've seen here in the last couple of years that players that have gone to play over in Saudi Arabia in particular, they've taken a lot of heat for taking that appearance money. And I think some of these guys are realizing that, maybe these big checks really aren't worth it if you're just going to be constantly scrutinized for playing in this league. So still very early days. I was kind of interested to watch watch and listen to the initial podcast kind of rolling out this Premier Golf League. But for the most part, I kind of wonder how it really differs from a World Golf Championship event, because those are supposed to be elite level events with no cut and the best players in the world. How does that differ from what we're seeing on a weekly basis, with the exception of just having the team format, which to me doesn't really make me all that excited?
Amen. We're on the same page. Jonathan Wall, I love Golf Magazine. You're doing a great job. Golf.com is what it is, and Jonathan Wall is the managing editor. Looks really good. Thank you for being on the show.
Thanks again, Daniel. Appreciate it.
Aloha. The Golf Club, made possible by these fabulous people. Oahu Extraction, when it floods, water, or worse, I mean, sewer pipes break. That's what I'm talking about. Worse. Call Oahu Extraction. Maybe the water didn't flood in. Maybe it trickled in and it stayed in places you didn't even notice they were. These little droplets of water causing mold. And, some people complain, like, there's a funny smell. I just don't understand what it is. Well, call Oahu Extraction. On site in 90 minutes if you've got a flood. Give them a call because they have this interesting reading device that can see. Maybe you're not imagining. Maybe it's not your imagination. Maybe you haven't just developed an allergy. Maybe there's really something in behind those walls, and they can help you see it and do something about it. Their number is 330-6212. Rain or doors, today you don't want to be fumbling for your key outside your house. Entry to safety with a push of a button is the Rainer garage door. Know your loved ones are safe with a Rainer garage door. They've got 50 different styles for your taste, for your home. That's Rainer doors. Bayview Golf Course, beautiful Kaneohe. I mean, it's gorgeous. You got to go to Bayview. Check it out. They've done such a wonderful job with the greens and the fairways. Hawaii's best value in golf and a double-deck driving range to boot with top tracer at each station. No extra cost. And challenge your friends in the virtual mode. They're going to have leagues at night there. It's going to be so much fun. Have fun. Go to Bayview Golf Course, BayviewHawaii.com, or call. The number is 247-0451, extension 1, and make your tee time. I spend a lot of time at Bayview, and you can too, and have a lot of fun because it's very affordable. We've got some tee times if you'd like to get out and play. I'm just going to mention a few of them. Volcano has a 916. Makalei has a 948. Poipu Bay has a 1050. Kapolei has a 9 o'clock. You might get there. The Rahawine Country Club has an 1102. Bayview has a 910, 1028, 1116. The Kahili course, the Better Half Golf Club is getting out today to play a round of golf. The Better Half Golf Club. I sure hope that's a lot of ladies. May you hit the sweet spot every time. And I want to thank you for your mana, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. This is The Golf Club. My name is Danielle Tucker, The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.
Copyright 2020.